Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Longbox Heroes, episode 314. I'm Todd, joined by Leonard. How are we doing today, Leonard?
I started recording before I did the countdown so that I give myself extra work.
Oh, I love when you do that.
Right.
You want me trim it? Send it to me. I'll use my...
Yep.
I'll use... you Dropbox that or sideways that or something over and I'll take care of it.
Right. I'll side skitter it to
you. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Side bag. You know what it is?
Side bag.
Instead of Dropbox. So how are we doing today?
I'm getting over an illness from this past weekend. It's slightly different than what my son had, but very similar, very disgusting. This would be like, yeah, I'm just stuffed up right now, but I'm doing okay because I'm taking the proper medicine, as you could hear the rattler here.
Oh, that's what I like, dude. Oxycontin.
Oh, I wish. That's why I wear a fanny pack, man. Where would I keep my oxys in, brother?
I take oxy flannels. But that's a different than Oxycontins.
That's horrible.
What?
You know what you said was terrible.
I do, but I love it. Would you like to know what's on the show this week?
If I have to.
All right. DC launches a new Justice League with a power artist and a couple of interesting faces. Yes. The Jane Fonda property finally gets a comic that, you know, the people have been clamoring for it.
Mother-in-Law, the movie with Jennifer Lopez, finally.
That's right, on Golden Pond. Garbage bags full of 20s?
Sounds like a typical day here at the Chikarison Mansion.
That's right. And also, DC launches an old imprint with a famous writer.
Yeah, a lot more announcements of things that are being announced officially and finally just this upcoming weekend, because we have convention news as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of small cons coming up this weekend.
A couple, two, three.
Your free digital books and sales.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have what we read last week, Saga 38, Blue Beetle, and also I review, because Leonard doesn't read all the things that I do, Teen Titans Rebirth.
Right, and we're going to just talk very briefly about Saga number 38. We're not going to get too far into things. You know, as we said on the show last week, it's like, you know, it's tough to talk about Saga and Walking Dead and books like that kind of do like their six-issue whatevers. Mm-hmm. And then just like, it's like, oh, well, we're going to talk about the second issue of the six-issue arc, and it just doesn't work out that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things might have happened that need discussing.
That's right. I might even hijack the show a little bit during this segment.
Uh-oh.
But, also, we have what we're looking forward to this week. The Pigskin Pick'ems updates. And,
yeah, buddy.
And the best Marvel magician.
Right.
Can't wait.
Was James Randi ever in a Marvel comic?
James Randi is awesome.
I think before we started recording, I was actually watching, as a side adjunct from a new podcast that I was listening to, a master cut on YouTube of James Randi exposing sham artists.
Oh, the ShamWow?
No, not ShamWow. This guy, James Vidoc?
Mm-hmm.
And James, it was like this weird show that was hosted by Bob Barker that, like, he would have people who claim to have these abilities and all these sort of things. And then James Randi would just come out and say, like, nope, you're a fraud, you're a sham, I'm gonna prove it. You know, at the time, here's the $10,000, let's go.
I'm glad Bob Barker was involved.
Mm-hmm. James Heidrick was the guy's name.
Oh, he sounds like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes,
or Hydra.
If you would Google James Heidrick and see a picture of him, you'd be like, oh, say no more. I've figured it all out.
Ooh, let me get my life savings and invest it with this guy.
Yep. So let's dive in. Let's talk about the DC stuff first.
Okay.
We're getting solicitations for February and March already, I guess. It's not even December solicitations just came out last week. and they're already like teasing all their announcements for February. Now, I will say this, I hand it to DC for kind of sort of being on the ball with these sort of things. Mm-hmm. Because as we'll get into a little bit later on in the show, when we discuss the what we're looking forward to coming out this week, mm-hmm. This month of October is the launch of all the books that we're supposed to be spinning out of Civil War II.
What? I was just going to say DC has to get on the ball because, you know, Marvel's already spoiling stuff that hasn't come out yet. They got to catch up somehow.
So they're doing another Justice League book, this time with Steve Orlando as the writer, who we talked briefly about last week. Was, I guess, the co-plotter or co-story credit by guy for the big Batman Monster Men mm-hmm. crossover that's going on right now.
Okay.
And I knew Steve Orlando previously from him writing Midnighter, most recently as like a new 52 book. So apparently he's doing a bunch of one-shots to announce this new Justice League team, which is going to feature the likes of Vixen, Ray Palmer, but Ryan Cho, Adam, the Ray, and Killer Frost.
Yes.
So this is very interesting to see this sort of team coming out. I'm surprised that this wasn't part of the initial launch of things for DC Rebirth, but on the flip side, I'm glad that it's not, because it's giving them an opportunity for this kind of not to get lost in the shuffle.
Right. Because they, but I do have to admit, Rebirth seemed to launch things well over 2 months with books coming out, you know, once.
Right. It was a staggered launch.
Right. And this seems to be like phase two of that in a much smaller version. So I get what you're saying. I think that's the smart way to do it, because I think some of these books, you know, the lesser books, got lost regardless of the tiered release. But I think it's pretty, you know, a pretty good thing. I think it's an interesting lineup too, but obviously you have Killer Frost in and out of the Flash TV show. So, you know, the Atom, a different Atom on Legends of Tomorrow. So, and who knows, I think the Ray might be showing up on Legends of Tomorrow also.
So, right, and I wouldn't be surprised. And didn't they do like some sort of like weird animated thing with Vixen recently?
Yes, they had, because she was on Arrow last season, and she also has an animated web show or something, like a couple episodes.
So there, and you know, you mentioned there, of course, the like second wave of these. This could be like the beginning of that second wave. There's a couple books that were announced as part of the initial announcement that didn't have dates, and like as of today don't have dates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm looking for. I know there was like a book that had, it wasn't Titans or Teen Titans, but it was like kind of like a Young Justice-y sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. That one, I don't know.
Right. Let me see if I can find it here. Kill some time. So, yeah, I'm glad that they're doing this, DC. You know, we kid because we love, but it seems as though, like, DC is on the ball as of late.
They are the classic Coke of comics right now.
You know, we talked before. The great Norm MacDonald, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Had a conspiracy theory on one of his many podcast appearances recently
mm-hmm.
that the whole Coke, New Coke thing was a purposeful scam to change the type of sugar that they were using in Coke.
It might have been. I don't know. I think there was something up with that. And I'm starting to think Didio did the same thing. He's like, if we really lower the bar with DC Comics, then when we come out, you know, guns a-blazing, people love it. And it turned the way people view DC Comics around.
Right, so actually, as I'm looking things over here, the two books were this Justice League book
mm-hmm.
and a book called Super Sons.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was the Damian Wayne, Jonathan Kent team-up book.
Yes. So those were the two books that were on the schedule for like they were on the schedule with like no team, no nothing. They're just like, yep, they're gonna come eventually, and here's at least one of them, so I would assume that the other one will probably be out shortly behind it.
Right, and probably not, if not even announced, like in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm. So the other DC thing that was just recently announced, yet another, I guess, side imprint. You know, they kind of brought in the Young Animal imprint of all those Doom Patrol weirdo type books. Your Cave Carson is a cybernetic eye. Well, it was just announced that also in February, DC is going to be doing a relaunch of the Wildstorm universe, which previously had been kind of folded into the DC universe. And I guess this folds them back out.
Which I think they should be.
Right. It was weird to have them part of the DC universe and have like Stormwatch be alongside the Justice League, and Martian Manhunter was a founding member of Stormwatch.
Yeah, yeah, it just goes against everything that I know about comics.
Right.
But no, I think Stormwatch was built to be its own little world, and the characters interacted in their own way, and like they have their own little backstories and world that they should kind of, and I'm still of the mind, since Vertigo went off and did that, a lot of that Vertigo stuff should shift back. But I don't know. And there was a fantastic bit on that in Dog Welder and Six Pack this week, with Garth Ennis writing John Constantine in the book, just ripping like what they've done to Vertigo apart. So it was really funny. So, for some reason, they have him on a Silver Surfer surfboard with a space helmet on, and every time he tries to smoke, the space helmet closes on the cigarette, so he can't do it. There's a lot of meta in that comic, and I think, like, you know, I would actually like to see somebody do that with the Wildstorm verse. But, like, you know, my feelings are the same thing with the Wildstorm. They shouldn't be in the you know, on DC Earth Prime or whatever they're calling it now.
Right, so it's going to be helmed by Warren Ellis, and they're going to do an event book, and then they're going to have a bunch of books come out of that, Wildcats and whatnot. Now, my whole thing is, Warren Ellis, while good to have early on, mm-hmm. He doesn't stick around long on stuff.
What? He's done like 9 issues of James Bond.
Okay, so there's one thing. And he's allegedly going to be doing a spinoff book with it as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking of, like, didn't he do a Karnak book at Marvel that
6 issues
comes out on, like, a 5-month basis?
Yeah, and he was off Moon Knight within 6 issues.
Right, right. And then they're like, oh, that was always our intent. But I don't think it was really their intent,
see,
you know?
I do. I think he goes in for the paycheck and then leaves. I really do. I think he's like, oh, I'm going to go do this, and then in the background, I'm going to do my James Bond where they leave me alone, and whatever weird independent book that he's doing, and like when the money runs dry on that, it's like, hey, I'll do Karnak for a little bit. Yeah, you want me to reboot Wildstorm? All right, I'm in. All right, how talk to my accountant. How are my funds? I could slide for 8 months. All right, it's back to doing whatever.
It's back to slumming at a... I was actually attempting to think of a fifth-rate Marvel character that doesn't have a book,
mm-hmm.
but then I remembered all the books that are being launched at Marvel the next 2 months, and I'm like, oh, they all have books now.
Well, that's right. All the fifth-rate characters are the Inhumans, and they do have books.
Thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, Prowler, no, Prowler has a book. Mm. Fool Killer, no, Fool Killer has a book. Solo, no, Solo has a book.
Yeah, Han Solo.
No. There is a guy who is... You know who Solo is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has his own book.
I'm trying to think of a character who would be that over at Marvel.
It's tougher to do that with Marvel these days than it is with DC. Because DC always has the tried and true. It's like, oh, Space Cabbie. There's your, you know, there's your Mendoza line. When Warren Ellis writes the Space Cabbie miniseries...
I so want.
That's when I know he was a week away from like losing his house.
I so want a Space Cabbie ongoing. Oh, I'm telling you, him fighting Space Uber, trying to make money, fantastic.
That seems like a gag that could be done in like a one-off issue of like a Scooby-Doo type thing or a Teen Titans Go like kids book.
Crisis on Infinite Space Ubers.
Right. or Lyft, or whatever the other ones are.
Hench.
I don't think that one's real, Todd.
It's real to me. I tried downloading it the other day. It asked for my mother's maiden name and my social security number.
So, as we had mentioned, there is a bunch of announcements coming out pre-New York Comic Con, which we'll get to here shortly. One of them is Comixology is going to be doing original content here with Valiant, with Boom, and with the estate of Harvey Kurtzman. They're going to be doing books. This is just the beginning of what they're doing, where you can only get these through Comixology, which one, I think, is long overdue, and two, we'll be interested to see how long these things stay as just Comixology exclusives.
What do you mean? And become print books? Or
yes. Or go to other platforms. Or, like, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's technically just a convention exclusive sort of thing, you know? Or they sell them, or like it's a giveaway in print. It's like, oh, we're technically not selling it. You know, it's going to be a free comic book day giveaway.
I think, I don't know about other platforms, because I don't know if they want to give it away to other platforms, but a printed book, I think there's too many old fogies like me and you who like get their books, you know, from a comic shop, and they don't want to miss out on any of that money, but like giving it to other platforms, I don't know, because you know they don't want to, you know, support them in any way. If that makes any sense,
right? So they're the initial run of these books, which is an Adventure Time spectacular, a very ridiculous concept that is fascinating. Valiant taking their superhero universe and essentially just saying like, yeah, here's when they were all in high school together.
Oh.
Which makes no sense whatsoever, but I'm sure it'll be delightfully ridiculous.
They were like...
And Harvey Kurtzman's Marley's Ghost, based on A Christmas Carol.
Mm. I'm thinking of that Valiant book, honestly. Like Archie's selling right now, let's do that with Valiant right. characters.
And I'll say this, man. Valiant is trying lots and lots of crazy stuff with their universe and just like things like this, or kind of getting everything all on the same page. I'm just sad that there's no current Quantum and Woody book.
Remember when they used to publish Quantum and Woody? Wantum and Quiddy.
Oh, I do.
Did I just say Wantum and Quiddy?
Wantum and Quiddy, yes.
Yes. But, yeah, I remember that. I missed that. I don't know why. I guess they're getting ready to push that Ninjak stuff with that movie, you know, that they're making. What?
Eight.
Are you okay?
Release date?
The release date? I don't know what the release date is.
Well, you said pushing with that Ninjak movie, because didn't they have a whole bunch of their properties were supposed to be made by some sort of like weird like
Chinese company? Well, all I know is I recently saw what the Ninjak costume was going to look like. They released it the other day. There was like a still of the actor in the Ninjak costume. That's why that's what jumped to mind.
Gotcha. That's well, I was wondering, since you mentioned that, it's like, oh, did they, like, release, like, test footage of Ninjak and I missed it?
No, just the still, the one shot, or the, like, the picture they want you to see where he looks the best. So you don't see it when he's running down the road, you know, brightly lit, you know, by some guy with a camera phone.
Interesting. So a lot of the other studios are announcing a bunch of other stuff. Boom has an announcement every day coming out leading up to New York. Dynamite has just been rolling it out. The one that jumped out to me the most was that they are going to be doing a Barbarella book.
Yes.
From based on, I guess, was it like a pulp comic or something from France?
I think so. I want to say whether it was heavy metal or something like that. It was definitely a European comic. My Barbarella history is kind of fluky, other than the fact that the blind winged guy in the movie is where the band got their name, Duran Duran.
Right. So everybody knows the Jane Fonda movie. And I give Dynamite credit, of course, by trying a lot of things. Like this, but I have a feeling that eventually they're going to run out of things to try.
I don't know.
I don't think Barbarella has any sort of cachet Barbarella has been out of the public consciousness for many, many moons.
What?
And one of the other things that Dynamite has is a book coming out called Animal Jam, which is based on a online game for children. Now, Todd, I have a child.
Okay.
And I have never heard of this thing. But it seems as though a lot of, you know, secondary publishers and, you know, anything outside of Marvel and DC is technically a secondary publisher and even into a third tier publisher is just kind of grasping at anything that comes along the pike in the hopes that something hits.
I totally know what you mean. I'm waiting for like them to have like, hey, it's the Misfits of Science comic or Manimal. Like, where are these comics?
Right. Now, see, that's like I could see like, and I'm just saying IDW as an example, taking a because they have your Battlestar Galacticas. And then they also have, like, the Star Treks, which are like, oh, it's Star Trek crossing over with everything, and Planet of the Apes crossing over with everything. It seems like Green Lantern is the touchstone that every one of those properties cross over with. And, you know, they're good comics, you know what I mean? IDW did the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles book last year that was really good. They have the Batman animated series crossing over with the Ninja Turtles animated series coming out later this month, or later this year. I'm sure that'll be fun. But it's going to get to a point where it's like, we're going to take all of those first year shows from Fox, Les Mare to Children, because that was the one that was a success, and Tracy Ullman Show. And that's going to be our next big crossover. Let's get Werewolf crossing over with The Adventures of Beans Baxter.
If you didn't say The Adventures of Beans Baxter, I was going to punch you right in the face.
Come on, listen, even though Studebaker hasn't listened to the show and nigh on of 5 months. He, when I said Adventures of Beans Baxter, he felt a disturbance in the force.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't try?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when's that going to happen? When's the nostalgia for failed TV shows that only had 6 episodes going to happen?
I don't know. Soon, because I know it didn't get like one season. I know like we have an Airwolf comic and a Knight Rider comic. If it wasn't for the Confederate flag, we'd have a Dukes of Hazzard comic.
You know what? I'm surprised, Confederate flag or not, why there is not a Dukes of Hazzard comic.
I don't know. I guess the Sorrell Brook family that won't give them their won't give them the likeness.
But you could kind of fudge the likeness a bit, like
no,
you know, it's a blonde-haired guy in a yellow shirt with jeans on. It's like, yeah, that's John Schneider, circa 1974.
What? Stop.
Whatever.
Listen, I know from Stargate Comics and other comics that have, like you can't just swap these people out. They are iconic. You have to have the exact look.
This is, you know, and I always point to this. This is the reverse of Hollywood back in, like, 1990, whatever, when Blade hit big.
Yep.
And no one saw it coming. And then every studio in the world bought every Marvel Comics property from Spider-Man all the way down to Mort the Dead Teenager. Right. Because it was like, what was on the shelves the day that movie hit? Some studio sent their PA and just said, go to the comic thing. Anything that says Marvel on it, we're buying the movie rights to it.
So even Fox Network got in there and got the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Nick Fury movie.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, oh, we want to have a TV one. What do we got? David Hasselhoff is cigar-chomping Nick Fury. Greatest Nick Fury ever, by the way.
I think there's a world where David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury could have worked. But that world, I think, doesn't exist. Like, they were not part of that timeline anymore.
No, this world was the one. And I think he's just old enough to play the real Nick Fury. Give him some white temples. Oh, my goodness. Give him a talking helicarrier.
Right.
It would be the best. And he's not a helicarrier, and he saves people from drowning. That, there you go. There's...
Ooh. Now, I know Asylum, the movie studio Asylum, they do, like, their mockbusters of things.
Right.
And they have a Suicide Squad knockoff, which is, like, the evil characters from Fairy Tales.
Ooh.
Like, why hasn't Sci-Fi Network or Asylum or one of those things, like, just say, like, hey, here's the League of Justice. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, it's Man of Superness Speedy Flashington. You know what
Speedy
I mean?
Speedy
Flashington.
And
just get things just wrong enough that they could avoid being sued.
Man, whose gimmick would be getting things just slightly wrong? That's ridiculous.
If only I knew a guy. Put him on the payroll. And just watch the cash roll in. And literally roll in, because it would be nickels and pennies.
That's right. Looks at things just askew enough the way nobody else does.
Oh, my goodness. So, but no, I always think back to, because, you know, there was a time where I was very much following all the comic book stuff and the horror movie stuff and all sort of that sort of thing on that side from Asylum. And the one that they got hit with was, do you remember the Keanu Reeves remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yeah, that was one of the greatest sci-fi movies ever made.
Okay, so Asylum did one that was called The Day the Earth Stopped.
Oh my goodness.
And they couldn't have got sued faster if they tried. They got sued so fast their head spun.
I hear Asylum's going to do a podcast called Longbox Heroics.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so let's get the lawyers on the blowers just in case.
Oh boy. Let's get the lawyers on nothing. I got nothing on retainer.
That's right. Nothing on braces either. Retainer, dentist humor.
No, listen, my wife had a nightmare about retainers last night.
Oh boy, okay.
So I'm well aware. So, last but not least, we've been kind of walking and tiptoeing around New York Comic Con happening this weekend, but Todd pointed out to me that the Hollywood Reporter did a big story on all the movie stars, TV stars, and so forth that are making, as the headline reads, garbage bags full of 20s at conventions.
I just want one garbage bag full of 20s in my lifetime. That's it.
Right. And not even like a yard waste one. I'll take like a
waste basket,
a garbage bag that you would put in like your little basket in the bathroom.
Yeah. Your waste basket, your little, like, you know, like that you keep at your desk at work.
Right. So it's very interesting to see that this sort of stuff has kind of seeped into, I guess, the Hollywood side of things.
Mm-hmm. And a cash business is always an interesting one.
Yes.
Because I know they get a lot of the, like, pre-orders, but at the show, it's like, cash only. You're like...
Right. But there's a lot of them, and they mention in here, and we've talked about this before, on how the conventions are like the old territory days of professional wrestling, where you've got your three big companies, Wizard World, Reed Pop, and Informa, which is the first time that I've actually seen that named, where, like, they're the big three, they're the ones that kind of tie down these people, and they run it, you know, they run it so smoothly, like, you're not handing a $20 bill in 2016 to Chris Hemsworth.
No, and he gets a few more than one $20 bill.
But you understand what I'm saying? Is all that is done, like, it's a flat fee up front, they do all those pre-orders, and then again, of course, I'm sure there's something on the back end where if, like, oh, we sell X more a day of, they get a bump up at the end of the day, or, you know, whatever their quarterly thing is that they get with their agents and all this sort of jazz. But somebody said it would be heartbreaking to see your idol, your favorite actor or whatever, have to make change for you.
Oh, boy. I believe that was you, wasn't it? Didn't you always say that?
No, I stole that from somebody else. Mm-hmm. I forget who I stole it from, but I say it all the time, so it's pretty much mine.
That's right. And did you say the third group was Informa?
Yes.
Is that the Lickety Boom Boom Down song?
Yes, that's what Snow, a famous rapper from the 90s, has done.
Oh, okay. He went on to do, he does, he choreographs celebrity appearances now. That's interesting.
Yes. You would think he would be the celebrity at these, but alas, he is not. But Informa is the one who does, like, all those fan expo.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what their thing is.
I've never heard of them, that's why.
Right, but the thing is, like, we talk about, like, when we go over conventions, it's like, oh, there's always, like, fan expo here and fan expo there and fan expo there, but I never knew that Informa was the company. Like, Wizard World is right out in front of, like, Wizard World. Mm-hmm. And then Reed Pop, just more recently, like, within the last, like, 2 years, has come forward, and that's because they've been picking up all these other conventions, so that's why their name came up. Whereas Informa is quietly just like, yeah, we're gonna do our thing here.
How long could Baltimore Comics last?
I don't know, man, but I hope it's forever, because Baltimore is, like, they're the last stand of the great conventions that are not owned by one of these three big conglomerates.
I think Charlotte's one of the other ones, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. We should do Charlotte sometime. Hey, Charlotte, if you're listening, invite us. We'll do a live podcast from your show. Leonard knows somebody with the equipment.
Now, are you talking about Charlotte Comic Book Convention, or are you talking about Charlotte, the former ladies wrestling champion?
Former? I didn't know.
Oh, that's what happens when you miss Raw, buddy.
Let's see her cartwheel her way out of that. But either one. I would live tweet Charlotte.
Right.
Either one.
One of these days, I mean, live. We're going to get one of these big conventions to fly us in like the celebrities that we are.
Jet flying, pie eating. I don't know what it is.
See, it is Charlotte. You were right.
It is.
So, again, we've talked about it enough. New York Comic Con is happening this weekend. It's probably happening as you're listening to this go live Wednesday at 1 minute after midnight Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
So expect next week's show to be news heavy from all the stuff that came out of that. But Todd, there are other conventions this weekend.
There are?
Yes. There is the UltraCon in South Florida. Mm. And there is the Fall Comic Con as part of the Minnesota State Fair.
Ooh.
So, listen, you got to do that sometimes. You think everyone's going to be in New York, you know, one or two of these little cons pop up and, you know, they can make a bang, a dent in the big conglomerate of New York Comic Con this weekend.
Yes, they can. Steal some of that money out of Reed Pop's pocket.
So all this will be in the show notes, along with the digital sales and stuff, as well as the information about the soon-to-be-named network, soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com, where not only you can find out information when these shows go live, and these shows, I mean, of course, Longbox Heroes and Longbox Heroes After Dark. I also mean Podvocacy. I also mean Puzzle Warriors 3. I also mean Fresher in Parlance. I also mean Prime Defective, Profane Argument. What else am I missing here? Talking Gimmicks, of course. Ooh. The newest show that talks all about wrestling. Mm-hmm. If you like wrestling, they're the ones. And if any of our people under our umbrella show up on any other podcast, we will talk about it and put it up there, as Jason Kirk was just recently on a podcast talking about the Voltron TV show that's on Netflix.
Ooh.
And it's a podcast called Yakko Yaks.
I hope he wasn't lying about it.
Oh, boy. See, you have you have a charm when you do these things. I listened to a podcast recently where someone delivered their puns with the charmlessness of, I don't even know, someone with no charm.
Oh, not the charmlessness of someone with no charm.
Yes.
Isn't that like an old Irish curse?
Yes.
May you have the charmlessness of someone with no charm.
Oh, my goodness. So, digital sales going on this week. DC is having a sale on Flashpoint-related stuff.
I wonder why.
It's almost as though the Flash TV show is back.
Make a point to watch that.
Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about Flash next week, I'm sure. Marvel is having a sale on Iron Fist-related stuff.
Hmm.
And when I say Iron Fist-related stuff, Marvel has been doing this lately where it's like, oh, here's this banner where we say Iron Fist is on sale. And then we're going to slip in like, oh, here's three random Defenders trades. Enjoy.
Well, was he in them?
No.
What? Like, was there an ad for an Iron Fist comic in it, maybe?
No, I think it's because the announcement came out of the release date of the Iron Fist TV show. Mm-hmm. And then all of those Netflix TV shows are all going to be the Defenders.
Mm.
And Bob's your uncle.
That's some mighty fine thinking right there.
Yeah, listen, I try to figure things out. But I will say this, they have the first three trades of the Ed Brubaker, Matt Fraction, Immortal Iron Fist.
That's some sweet comics right there.
That's some sweet comics indeed. Also, they're having stuff with the Champions on sale. Of course, Champions is one of the big books that's going to be launching here out of, excuse me, the upcoming Civil War II thing that was supposed to end. And I will say this, it's like, oh, all the characters that are in the Champions, like, oh, here's the first five trades of Miss Marvel. Here's a bunch of the trades of all new X-Men because Cyclops is in it. Here's all the trades of Nova. And then here's the first trades of Totally Awesome Hulk, Miles Morales Spider-Man, and digitally, the first trade of the Tom King Vision book.
Ooh.
So you can get those first six issues of that fantastic Vision miniseries for $4.
That's less than a dollar an issue.
That's a steal at thrice the price.
Thrice.
So I highly implore you to go check that one out. That's all. That's a it's a good book for $4 for six issues. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. No new freebies, unfortunately, but again, we've covered so much with the sales. Todd, let's get into what we read from this past week. And I don't know if you want to save your hijacking for the beginning or the ending of this segment.
It's up to you. I can hijack whenever.
Well, the book we were most looking for, both of us, coming out this past week was Saga number 38, part 2 of the War for Fang, written by Brian K. Vaughan with art by Fiona Staples. And I will just say this, they kill off a major character in this issue.
Yep. And it's sad.
And yeah, that's it. Not going to go too far into it. Outside of that, we say it every time that Saga comes up. Saga is great. This issue is no different. Loosely, at the end of the previous issue, they came upon a bunch of like these little small like critters.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to help them by having them come onto their ship, which is like this weird giant tree. And by helping these people, they've formed an alliance with these people, but now it's also put them 6 months behind schedule of what their plan was. And Alana now is very pregnant.
That's right, because it's tapping their resources, so they have to stay longer.
Yes. So this book was great. This book is great all the time.
Yes, it is.
I'm waiting for the hijack.
Oh, the hijack? I'll hijack the show. With someone asked to us to maybe try, and I did it when I saw the cover, Scooby-Doo Team-Up number 18.
Oh, okay.
With Who Let the Dogs Out on the cover. Here's your lineup. What's the dog from, remember, the old Super Friends? I'm confusing with Dino Mutt.
I don't remember.
But you know who I'm talking about. Him,
yeah, yeah.
Ace the Bat Hound, Crypto, and Nort. And Nort shows up with all these animals and he needs help, but he only needs Scooby's help. So he leaves them behind and they go to this planet of dogs to fight these feline criminals. And the names of the characters are so pun heavy and the villain, it's fantastic. And I think the name of the planet is, instead of the SPCA, it's the SCPA. The group of superheroes.
Yes, I see it here. The Space Canine Patrol Agency.
Right, and then one of them is Yankee Poodle, who's from Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew. But
right.
I had so much fun reading this book that I now want a Captain Carrot and His Amazing Zoo Crew book by Sholly Fish, the guy who writes this. Mm-hmm. And the fact that every time I pick this book up, which isn't all the time, the last time I picked it up was when they teamed up with the Flash to go fight in Gorilla City. I never have more fun than I do with Scooby-Doo Team-Up. It's I don't know why it's the best DC book I'm reading whenever I read it, but I think it's because it's kind of right up my alley, if you know what I mean.
I do.
With like some, I'm trying to find one with some really terrible, terrible, what some of the names of the characters are. Oh, the one that can read minds and attack you is the cat Siamese. That's fantastic. No? You know?
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Oh my God, you're killing me. This is good
That's
stuff.
Acceptable.
that's acceptable.
Yes.
There's a cat with wings called Kitty Hawk.
Okay.
Cool cat who has freeze powers. Oh, and then there's one that can make you feel terror, which is Scaredy Cat, but it doesn't work on Scooby because he's always scared.
So he's immune.
Mm-hmm. So yes, if you're looking for stupid, stupid fun, stupid fun, I mean, and I think like Scooby-Doo now is the Detective Munch of comics because they have crossed over with everybody.
Well, it's everybody in the DC universe.
And other people, too, like Phyllis Diller in the cartoons and the Globetrotters.
The Addams Family.
Yes, so it's fantastic.
See, you're talking me into getting this.
Especially, like, these weird, like, superhero issues. Like, oh, come on. Like, Crypto, Ace the Bat right. Hound, and then Nort. Oh, that's fantastic. I'll lend it to you if you want, just so you can get the feel of it.
Well, if our local shop has a cop, bring yours with you, just in case our shop doesn't have a copy.
That's right. They were the Canine Commandos, by the way.
Okay. So, one of the books, did you read Blue Beetle number one?
Yes, I did. It's
okay. So, Blue Beetle number one, spinning out of Blue Beetle, Rebirth number one, still written by Keith Giffen, art by Scott Collins. More of the banter between Jaime and Ted Kord going on a mission to find some kids that have been missing from school. Ted Kord making deals with people that Jaime knows from school to be trouble. And the majority of this book is the adversarial relationship between Ted Kord and Jaime Reyes. Mm-hmm. And depending on how much you like that, I think is how much you will like this book.
Right. How much do
you... I liked it in the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
This issue seemed as though they turned it up to 11, and it was like too much for me.
Me too. That's the thing, because I barely liked it in the first issue, because mm-hmm. I thought, you know, he's the mentor to this kid, and it's almost like because he's too busy joking around, he doesn't care about the welfare of the kid. Like, he's fighting things that could hurt him, and he's just like... And Ted's like making jokes, and then in this issue... It's the same way, and it's almost like, I like Ted when he picks on jerks, but Jamie's not a jerk. Like,
right.
So it seems like he's, instead of, like, you know, poking fun at someone who deserves that poke, it seems like he's just being mean to Jamie. And I'm kind of have grown bored with it.
I wouldn't say I've grown bored with it. I'm just hoping that the next issue, they turn it down a little bit. Like, the level was right in the Rebirth issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not. And, like, the whole Dr. Fate thing that was the big cliffhanger of the previous issue
right.
seems to be just, like, an afterthought here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they mention it in the first couple pages, and then they just, like, oh, let's get into the adventure, which is fine, but that seemed to be, like, a pretty big deal just to brush off.
Right. I agree. And then...
But this is a book I really want to like.
Me too. It's got Ted Kord in it, so how can I not want to like it?
Exactly. So, the other book that you read, I did not, was Teen Titans Rebirth number one, written by Benjamin Percy, with art by John Boy Myers.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk to me about this book.
Basically, this is a book of, like, the young... characters who would be in the Teen Titans, like Beast Boy and Raven and Starfire. Through a series of events, the book is told in each little story of these characters, like in like two or three page stories, and then at the end someone is kidnapping each of them to like for some means, and like as they're doing it, they're discussing like kind of like their psychology of the character to them. Like, you know, like Raven, oh, if you weren't so scared all the time or so meek, you would be the most powerful of the groups you've been with, and so on and so forth. And then I was kind of not on board with the book as these stories were going on until you find out at the end who is kidnapping them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, I have to see where this book goes.
Okay, So the solicitation text says that it's Ra's al Ghul.
If it is, that ain't who was at the end of this issue.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Because I was curious to see if they gave away such a big reveal.
Mm-hmm. It is not.
Interesting.
And I was like, okay, I'm in on this. And I'm one of the other characters is the Wally West from the New 52. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Yeah, Starfire, Beast Boy, Wally West, and Raven. So, yeah, I want to see where it's going. The one thing with the art is a little cartoony for me at times, and then other times it's like really detailed, like when Beast Boy changes into a great white shark, even though he's a great green shark in this, is really cool, but kind of threw me off because I feel like it's a weird, like Teen Titans Go, not that cartoony. But, and then it's more of a serious story, so it was off-putting. But then, like I said, when we find out the big reveal at the end, I'm like, all right, you definitely get another issue out of me.
Good to hear.
Because I don't want to reveal who it is in case someone wants to read it.
Gotcha. See, and that's why I felt comfortable in saying who the solicitation text claimed that it was.
Right, and I didn't read solicitation text, so I had no clue who it might be.
Right. Oh, man. So, that covers what we've read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to this week. Every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern Time or so, we put up the pull post over at longboxheroes.com, which is a link within a link to all the books that are coming out this week. Whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them mailed to, whether you wait for the trade, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, be ready, know what's coming out so there's no surprises. Don't be the guy who just shows up the day of, looks at a list and says, I'll take one of these, I'll take one of these, take one of these. Make a meticulous list in triplicates. And drive yourself mad.
That's right, because that other guy is a jerk unless he goes the day before the books come out.
Ah!
And when they can't be on sale, puts them in their bag and then comes back the next day. That's the shrewdie right there.
So Todd and I attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd has a lead on me of one correct guess, 24 to 25. We will see if he will... lengthen his lead, or if I will narrow the gap, or if there will be no movement. So you go first, my good man.
Looking over your list, I'm seeing books, and I'm looking at it as the book you're looking forward to most, Champions Number One by Mark Waid?
It is Champions Number One by Mark Waid.
Yay, I nailed it.
I'm also going to guess that yours is Champions by Mark Waid.
I lengthen the lead.
Uh-oh, it's not?
It's not. It's Jessica Jones number one.
Oh, that would have been like my third choice.
What was your second choice? Death of Hawkman?
No, get out of town. Moonshiners.
No, it's not Moonshine.
All right. Jessica Jones. And Jessica Jones was my 1A right. as well. Yeah. But yeah, lots of good stuff this week, and you know, as I've been going through the show, this is the beginning of the rollout of the post-Civil War II universe of Marvel, so spoilers ahoy.
What? Listen, this is the first time anything like this has ever happened.
There is no precedent for this ever in the history of comic.
Nope. It's never been done. Comics, I don't know if you know this, superhero comics anyway, since they premiered in the 30s, have never screwed up a schedule at all.
Never.
It is the most, you know, on time. It's like the trains in a fascist country.
Now, wait a second. I will say this. I'm sure there was like an isolated incident or two.
Never.
But it wasn't until the early 80s where they would do like an event type book or a maxi series or mini series or whatever it is by a big name creator. And it would just be like, well, whenever the next issue is done is when we're going to publish it. Because you would hear those stories in the 60s and early 70s. It's like, well, we have a deadline.
Fill an issue.
If so-and-so isn't done with this issue of Amazing Spider-Man by X day, we have like seven in a binder that we could just send to the press, and that's the new number, whatever, on the shelves.
Yep, fill-in issues, they were called back in the day. And they would have, like, this is a side story that, you know, happened, you know, back to your regular scheduled story next month.
Right.
In the beginning. You know when I really think it went off the rails, Leonard? Deathmate. Like,
Deathmate?
Yeah, was it that the one? Was that the Valiant Image crossover?
Checkmate.
No, wasn't it Deathmate?
I'm almost certain that it, because like it was like Deathmate Black or whatever it was.
Right, I didn't say Checkmate, did I?
No, I said Checkmate.
But I'm pretty sure it's Deathmate Black and stuff like that. But that was the one where it was like, all right, Valiant's going to come out this week or whatever. Image was going to come out the next week or whatever, however it was. And they were going to flop back and forth. And I don't know if you know this, sometimes Image was late. And Valiant was to heck with it. We're putting them all out on schedule. And I, like, to me and some people, other people at the shop, that's what killed Valiant, was that them getting in bed with Image.
Right. You are correct. It is Deathmate. They were designated by color, mm-hmm. As opposed to issue number, plus the prologue and epilogue books, created the peak of the comic speculator boom, heavily promoted, and it was beset with production delays. The Image half came out severely behind schedule and out of sequence. Mm-hmm.
So when you start yelling about your precious Secret Wars and your precious Civil War IIs, imagine the people who had to live in the dark times of Deathmate, Leonard.
Between me, you, and the wall, Todd?
We lived through that, right?
I don't think anyone read that.
People didn't because it came out late.
I'm just trying to see here. Because you can't go by the cover dates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the cover dates were, like, all correct.
Right.
But it was like, ugh, what a mess. What a disaster.
Can you imagine what that would have done to your brain and heart back then? If you had your triplicate forum internet stuff? Oh.
Yeah, I probably would have gone more berserk than I already am today. But no. What I'm saying is, like, okay, that's when it completely went off the rails. Mm-hmm. It was done. But I remember hearing those stories of, like, books like Watchmen and stuff, where it would just be like, oh, well, the book's not on time, so we're just going to wait.
Well, that's,
you know, if Watchmen was being published in the late 60s, early 70s, if an issue was late, there would be, like, Watchmen funnies to, like, replace it that month.
See, I don't think so. If it was a limited series, they wouldn't have done it.
But you, right, you get what I'm saying.
Right, though. No.
Like, if it was ongoing or something like that, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Bringing Watchmen into these things again.
Mm-hmm. Comparing Deathmate to Watchmen for the first time ever.
and Deathmate wins in this story.
Yes, oh boy. So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out everything else that we have over there, whether it be past episodes of this show, past episodes of After Dark, past weekly questions, past pull posts, just in case you're behind on your books, you can kind of catch up that way as well. Also, a direct link to everything that's going on with the Pigskin Pick'ems. Asa is actually getting excited about doing his picks.
You know what? I'm glad. He's going to be a little football player.
I don't know. He still wants to be a monster truck driver.
Well, wait until he finds out that he can play in the games and bet on. He's going to be Booster Gold. You're gonna mess up somehow. He's gonna have to take care of you, and to get money, he's gonna have to fix his games because you got a bad wheel or something.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Yep.
So, what else do we have over there? Okay, so while you're over at longboxheroes.com, click on the Amazon link across the top of the page.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you purchase from there will help us out. A little bit, a lot, whatever purchase you want. Halloween is coming. People are purchasing Halloween costumes, or what I assume they will be wearing for Halloween. Todd.
Yes.
I don't want to spoil what I'm sure you're wearing for Halloween this year,
mm-hmm.
but someone, wink, wink, mm-hmm. purchased a Roman Reigns gold logo Superman punch glove set.
Oh.
And a Roman Reigns gold tactical replica vest.
I don't need the replica. I have the real one.
So if you're telling people that you're not a good guy, you're a bad guy, you're not a bad guy, you're the guy, while wearing all this stuff on October 31st, I'll know what's up.
That's right. Oh, well, you know what? If you run into people trick-or-treating as ghosts, you can get booed.
That was a good one. Oh, my goodness. Is that why they're saying that at Roman Reigns? They think he's haunted?
That's right. No, he's got a lot of ghosts in his closet. They're all boo. There you go. Boo, Roman Reigns.
If I was in charge of World Wrestling Entertainment.
Oh, my goodness.
I would absolutely scream into the headset at Michael Cole to say words to that effect the next time that they're booing. Roman Reigns are like, oh, we shouldn't hold Monday Night Raw in all these venues that are obviously haunted. Can't you hear all these ghosts?
Oh, they're wrestling on an ancient Indian burial ground.
Every Raw for the last 3 years has been held on an ancient Indian burial ground. But only during this one segment.
They come out.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that was a little too... Oh, I enjoyed that too much. All right. Last but not least, of course, is the weekly question. This past week was the best Marvel magician.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I made a bold statement to Todd last week that I would guess who his person was, and if I guessed it correctly, he didn't have to tweet Raw anymore, but apparently you could just do that whenever you want.
That's right. There's no contracts. I'm waiting to get my contract.
Right, and if I got it correct, then he would have to do it or tweet Raw in perpetuity.
Right.
And he chose not to take me up on that wager, Mr. I have a gambling problem.
Well, I thought it was the other way. I thought you said if you got it wrong, I had a...
No, like if I correctly guessed who it was, then you...
Oh.
But if you stumped me, then you were obliged from never having to tweet Raw again.
All right, I'll take that bet.
We can't do it now.
Okay. See, I was misinformed. Go to the tape. That's what I say. Right.
I have my reel-to-reel player here.
Oh. So
who is your favorite magician in the Marvel Universe, Todd?
Who
is the best Marvel magician? Why am I saying your favorite?
Did I send that to you on your Skype thing? Can you see it?
Let me see. Nope, I see nothing.
Oh, how do you send this?
Oh, this is going to be great. So while you're doing this, I will have to say, and we've talked about this before, I think when we did Best Doctor Doom, I said that my favorite Doctor Doom is the one who's more magic-y based than the more science-y based. And I think when they do Marvel stuff or Doctor Doom stuff where it's more magic-y, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sent me something that says here.
I'm having troubles. But basically... The character who is the best magic user in the Marvel Universe is me.
Is you?
Because I was...
Oh, that's right!
I was in an issue of Gambit Annual 2, and I forget, I'll have to find the issue, where Gambit's father breaks into this mystical realm, and there's pictures on the wall, portraits of... all the greatest magicians in the history of the Marvel Universe, and one of them on the wall is me. So it would have been Doctor Doom, but the only person I like more than Doctor Doom is me.
Oh, boy. You button-hooked me on that one, Todd.
I do. I like to hook buttons.
So, you know, we had a bunch of people, you know, I tried to mix it up with the pictures that I used in there, and I had a lot of fun looking up some of the images and artwork for some of the other magic users in the Marvel Universe. And, you know, we had people mentioning magic, and again, of course, longtime listener of the show, Mark Cole mentioned Dr. Doom as well, him saying the answer when applicable is always Dr. Doom.
Well, he's a smart man.
Let's not go crazy. He does like Doctor Who. No,
don't get me started.
So, next week's question, Todd, is going to be the best Vertigo supporting character.
Oh, okay.
Someone who is not or has never been the star of their own book. Now, if they were, like, featured in, like, a single issue, but their name never appeared on the cover, like as the masthead of a Vertigo book.
Mm-hmm.
You got
me? That's an interesting one. Yes, like not John Constantine, but someone who helped out John Constantine in his book. Something like that.
Exactly.
Yay.
Because this actually, I forget how it came up, but it came up recently in a conversation that I was having with someone about one of those Vertigo books
mm-hmm.
that we all know and love. And this person immediately came to mind, and I'm like, if I had to choose my favorite supporting character in any Vertigo book, it's going to be this person.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. When I do some digging and put some stuff out, I might change my mind.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get that picture on Skype that I tried to send 9 times?
Nah, Dropbox it to me, Mr. Technical Wizard, so I could put it in with the show notes this week.
How did I mess that up? Shocking.
Because you're you, Todd. What can I tell you?
Okay. Anyway.
Is there anything else that I missed? Because I usually miss stuff.
No, you got the question for next week. Probably be doing Flash next week.
Right, we will be discussing the return of Flash.
Okay. So I think that's it.
Yes. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to episode 314 of Longbox Heroes. For Todd, this is Leonard, and we will see you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
All right, we're getting ready to do week 5. Asa had 8 correct picks last week. I think we're going to win all this time. So who do you think is going to win? A Cardinal or a 49er? I don't know what that is. You have to say it correctly.
I said 49er.
How about a bear or a colt? A colt is kind of like a horse.
Bear.
Patriot or like a bulldog?
Bulldog.
You're being silly. An eagle or a lion?
Lion.
That one I didn't understand at all. A titan or a dolphin?
Titan. So the monster's own name, Titan.
Oh, okay. So I like to hear your reason why you pick certain ones. The next one is a Texan, which is kind of like a bull, or a Viking.
El Toro Loco. That means bull.
Oh, okay. That's the crazy bull. That's right. A jet or a steeler?
Jet.
A redskin, which is like an Indian, or a raven?
Raven.
A falcon or a bronco, which is another kind of horse?
Falcon.
A buffalo or a ram?
Ram.
A tiger or a cowboy?
Tiger.
A charger or a raider, which is like a pirate?
A raider.
Yeah. A giant or a packer? Which still, I don't know how to explain what that is to you.
Giant.
Okay. Last one, a buccaneer, which is again a kind of pirate, or a panther?
Panther.
Okay. So those are our picks. I think this time Ace is going to get them all right.
Why?
Because. It's cool. You're competing with like 40 other people. So thank you very much. Ace, do you have anything to say to everyone listening out there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a monster truck noise, I think. Look at the noise. Look. I pulled up the audacity. Goodbye, everybody.